chapter 3. And so I was just thinking about all the fine folks here at Victory Life Church. And Bobby Jean, you are such a blessing, and we love you so, so much. She's so humble, she doesn't want to look up. Oh, we are close to your home, and we are small. And God is good. God is good. Well, we love you so much, Bobby Jean, and you always bring all these nice folks around here. You bring all these nice folks, and we're just blessed to have you. We love you so much, and I love all you guys. I'm just so thankful for everybody here. And I was thinking about Brother McClary, bless his heart. You know, he's another humble guy. You know, he has really stood by us, man, stood by me in those early days and just held me up, man, when I felt like I was in the wrong place, man. I mean, not necessarily the wrong church, but, you know, I was like, man, I don't know about this preaching thing, man. You know, Brother McClary was there, man, a constant encouragement when I really needed somebody. He was so obedient to the Lord, and I just thank you so much, Brother McClary. Do what? Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so anyways, man, is God good? He really, really is. Let me do this. Everybody just talk amongst yourselves. We need one. Boom, go. Okay, so everyone's in John 3. We're talking about salvation today. The most important question you will be ever asked in your life, are you saved? Okay, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is whether or not you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay, listen, man, Well, let me just say it like this. I knew I was supposed to preach this message this week. I knew I was supposed to. You know, I kept thinking, I was like, man, I'm sure most of these cats are saved, man. Truth of the matter is I don't know where your heart is, no more than you know where my heart is. But I know I'm supposed to preach this. I know it's for somebody. So if you are saved, thank you, Jesus. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're saved. But just use this, okay, as a time of refreshing, man. Just get excited. Okay, so if you are saved, you should be just stoked to hear this message and just rejoice. Hey, man, I am saved, man. I will never know what hell's torment feels like, not for a second. Is that good news? Yeah, it is. It is. There's no better news than that right there, and we are so blessed. Okay, so John 3 and verse 1, I want to share a little story with you guys, but first I want to pray. Father God, thank you for your anointing on this message, Lord, that your convicting power will go out. If there is anybody in here that has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior, that they will do so before they leave, Lord. We just love you and we praise you. Lord God, thank you for your conviction, Lord Jesus, and just empowering your servant, Lord, that we won't get lost, Lord God, that they won't look at the messenger, Lord. They won't be distracted by the messenger, Lord, but they will be blessed by the message, Lord Jesus. And we just love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Jesus is talking to this guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Now, Pharisees were part of the religious ruling elite of Israel at the time. They were part of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay, there was a lot of differences between these guys. Well, you can look at them as kind of like Republican and Democrat, but just in the fact that there's some differences there. Okay, now the Sadducees were more of the aristocratic type. okay? They did not believe that there was anything after your death. And they were more of the political. The Sadducees were more of the political type. And because Rome occupied Israel, the Sadducees were important, and they kind of sought the peace to work with Rome because a lot of them were landowners and stuff like that. They didn't want to lose what they had. And then you had the Pharisees, who did believe that there was life after death, that there was something after death. And also, they were kind of for the common man, if you will. Okay, they were more for the working class. So even though there was more Sadducees in the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees kind of had the approval of the masses, or the approval of the people. Does that make sense? Okay, they were more for the working class, and so on and so forth. Now, having said that, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, well, let's just say the Pharisees, if Jesus Christ had an enemy on earth, it would be the Pharisees. Okay, they made it their business to attack Jesus Christ. They didn't want Jesus Christ messing up their program. Not every Pharisee was evil, okay? Now, this particular Pharisee named Nicodemus, he was curious about Jesus. And so he went to seek Jesus out, okay? Are y'all with me so far? You guys ready to get into this, or you want to go home? Let's just vote by interpretation. You ready to go home? Okay, you say that now. Okay. And I love you guys. Dwayne, I love you, man. I love you. I mean that. Dwayne hurts, man. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But look at these guys on the front row, man. These guys physically hurt. And look at them right here, man. Man, God is good. Jesus, we just love you. We just love you. We just love you. We just love you. Thank you for physical healings. Thank you for financial breakthroughs. Thank you for spiritual advancement, Lord God. Thank you for moving in our lives, Lord Jesus. John 3 and verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Okay, so Nicodemus has a respect for Jesus Christ. Okay, he doesn't know Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he has a respect and a reverence for who this man is. And he says that I know you're from God. Okay, I know that you are sent here by God. There's some sort of special anointing, some sort of special calling on your life. Okay, so I want to ask you a very serious question. If you think Jesus is cool, or you think that you have some respect for Jesus, does that save your soul? No. No, it does not. But we have to cover all the bases, okay? No stone can be left unturned this morning, because a lot of fine folks say, well, I don't have a problem with Jesus. Or I think Jesus did some great things, or Jesus had some cool teachings and stuff like that. That is all true, okay? But we're talking about salvation, okay? We're talking about that we have to accept Jesus. Listen up. That we have to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. You got to do that, okay? It doesn't matter how cool you think he is. Gandhi had a lot of respect for Jesus Christ. One thing that Gandhi said was that he liked Jesus, but he didn't think that Jesus' followers were very good followers of their master. That's kind of convicting, isn't it? That's kind of convicting. Okay, now I don't know what happened to Gandhi. I mean, I saw the movie. I know what happened to Gandhi. It's not a bad movie. It's kind of long, but I don't know where Gandhi's soul is right now. I don't know where your guys is, who's your soul belongs to right now, okay? But see, we can leave here today with the peace that surpasses all understanding, that I know where I'm going when I take my last breath. You see what I'm saying? So if you have any doubt in your mind where you're going, man, we got to take care of this today. Amen? Tomorrow ain't promised to nobody. Go ahead and say that with me. Tomorrow ain't promised to nobody. That is so true. That is so true, guys. So we got to take care of this today. Okay. Now, Jesus always goes straight to the point, man. Okay, so Nicodemus is saying this good stuff about Jesus, and it's true. But Jesus is like, oh, okay, we got something we can work with here, Nicodemus. Okay, I'm glad that you think I'm cool, but check this out. Jesus answered him, truly, truly. Okay, now, students of the word, what does it mean when we see two identical words side by side? Muy importante. Very important. Okay, so this is like saying super true. Super true, okay? Okay, like in other words, okay, Nicodemus, what you said was true, okay, but you really need to focus on this right here, man, because you can like me, but that's not going to save your soul. You can think I did some good things, but that's not going to save your soul. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Raise your hand if you want to see the kingdom of God. Amen. That's every single one of us, man. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we all want to be in that place. Okay, so what do I have to do? I have to be born again. Amen. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, Nicodemus, maybe he's a little uncomfortable at this moment. Maybe he's thinking, man, I'm kind of wasting my time. Okay, but this is what he says. Nicodemus has jokes. Okay, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Okay, Jesus ain't having nothing to do with that. Okay, Jesus is, he's driving it home, man. He's like, okay, listen, I will not be sidetracked, Nicodemus, okay? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly," there it is again. This is very true. This is so important. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." God is good, right? Okay, so it's been said like this, and I have adopted it because it makes so much sense. Okay, if I'm born only once, then I'm going to die twice. Born once, die twice. What in the world does that mean? Okay, if I'm only born that natural birth, okay, born by my mother, okay, then I'm going to have that physical death that if the Lord tarries, all of us will go through that natural death. Okay? I'll have that natural death. Then I will have a spiritual death, an eternal separation from my Creator. Okay, well, that doesn't sound too horribly bad. You're wrong. You're wrong, dude. You don't go to some invisible happy place. It's not some void. It's not you just disappear. Okay, it's not like that at all. You will go to a place for all eternity where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, and where the worm and the flame don't never go away. Isn't that sad? That is so sad, because yes, maybe you are saved, but maybe you should use this teaching and let it get you fired up so you can go witness to your neighbor. You know what I mean? Let God just direct you in how to do that. Let God give you witness in how you need to minister to those around you. Are we loving our neighbor like we love ourselves? Or are we just pretty much concerned with ourselves? You know, because if we are Christians, we're supposed to be, if we are saved, we're supposed to be abiding in his word. Okay, so in other words, the proof is in the pudding, right? Okay, it's like what John said when the Pharisees came to check him out. You need to be bearing some fruit in keeping with repentance. So if you are saved, okay, you need to be bearing some fruit. You see what I'm saying? Not perfectly. We're not perfect people. We've just accepted that perfect gift of salvation. You see what I'm saying? But increasingly, I should have a desire to do the things of the Lord. I should have a desire to please the Lord. So go ahead and start your checklist, those of you that know that you're saved. Am I bearing more fruit? You see what I'm saying? Am I that good tree? Okay. Or when people talk about the Lord, does it kind of irritate me? Certainly not, right? Certainly not. Okay. Well, that can be a red flag right there. If the people of God irritates you, well, never mind. Never mind that one. But what I'm trying to say is if the things of the Lord, you have no interest in them, okay, then you need to check yourself. Can all God's people say you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself? True. This is truly, truly. It's a very true statement. Okay. But what I'm saying is if you're a Christian, man, we should have a burden for those that have not accepted Christ. Okay. That's part of it. You know, we're to go into all the world and make disciples of all men. Right? Have we been doing that? Are we even concerned with that? Okay, so let's think about that. I want you to think about that today. Am I truly a saved person? Amen. Are y'all with me? Okay, so to be born twice, I only have to die once. Isn't that good news? That is super awesome news, right? Because, physical death, where's your sting? To be absent from the body, you know what, man? When I die, I know you guys will be like distraught and devastated. You know, what am I saying? You guys will be gone way before I do. I'll be like on generation 14 of you people, but no, I'm playing. I'm playing. God is good. God is good. I'm just playing. The Lord has a sense of humor, right? When does a preacher say that? When he feels like he's getting in trouble. Oh, and I'm getting close. Okay, any old hoot and holler. When I pass away, man, I'm going to be with the Lord. You know what I mean? So, you know, just be, if you're around for that and you're part of the committee and folks are crying and all that stuff, just slap them in the back of the face and say, man, he's in a better place. Right. Amen? Well, you don't have to slap them in the back of the face. Let the Lord guide you in that one. Okay, well, anyways, born of the water, what is that? Okay, so when a baby is born, what happens? There's a rush of amniotic fluid. What is that stuff called? Water? What? Amniotic fluid, whatever. Water, okay, so this is talking about that natural birth. Okay, you got to be born. You're going to be born. If you weren't born, you weren't here. You see what I'm saying? But now that you're here, you got to be born again, okay? If you're not born again, you're in a bad place. You're going to be in a worse place forever and ever and ever. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so think about this. This is pretty cool. How much work does a baby do to be born? Not a whole lot, right? Mama's doing all that work, ain't she? I've had the privilege of sitting through a handful of births. And mamas do the majority of the work. I did nothing. I didn't do nothing. My hand got squeezed. There were some orders given, but it was just, I was just kind of there for moral support. You know, maybe an ice chip here and there, something like that. Rachel Jean did all the work. Okay. What about our salvation? Who does all the work for our salvation? Jesus already paid for that. We just have to receive what's already been done for us. You see what I'm saying? And see, a lot of people get snagged up in that, man. It's like a trap. It's like a stumbling block. It's too easy. That's how much he loves you. All you have to do is accept it. It's not a works thing. You're never going to be cool enough. You're never going to be hip enough. You know what I mean? It don't work that way, man. You're never going to be rich enough. Jesus Christ paid a debt that you absolutely, positively could not pay. Doesn't that make you feel so good? Listen, man, this week, you don't mind if I kind of lean like this, do you? Okay. I'm already tired of doing it. Well, it hurts your elbow. It's not as comfortable as you might think. So this week, man, I was in a financial crunch big time. Something came out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it. Wasn't even really aware of it. So it just kind of happened. But it was like a legitimate thing, man. Like if I didn't pay it, then something really, really bad was going to happen. Y'all ever went through something like that? Okay, yeah. Like, I mean, here's the deal. I needed to come up with like $2,000, man. And I only had a very little amount of time to do it. So no big deal. I just go get, because I have a bunch of money in savings. I got like so much. I mean, I'm probably the wealthiest person in here. No, I'm playing. God has a sense of humor. Now, listen, man, I didn't have the money, and in the natural, I had no way of coming up with the money. I mean, that's just how it is. I'm not prideful about that. It's a very humbling situation when you're like, oh, look what I got in the mail. I've got to come up with $2,000, okay, or this is going to happen. And I'm like, man, that's impossible. It was totally impossible. You don't even know what happened yet. Amen. Amen. Yeah, okay, so anyways, kind of freaking out, you know, kind of getting to that point, man. I was like, oh, Jesus, I know, Jesus, I know you can handle this. I know you can handle it, but this is completely out of my hands, man. And this isn't like you work out a deal with these people and everything will be cool and you just throw them a little something here and there. It wasn't going to work that way, okay? So, and there was like no place I could turn, but how about we turn to the Most High God, right? Right? What we tend to do last should really be the first thing we do. Okay, now, this was impossible for me, so I had to give it to the Lord, okay? And I sent a text out to one dude, Just one dude. Okay, my friend, Preacher Arnie, I was like, hey, he's my accountability buddy and all that and everything. I'm like, hey, Preacher Arnie, listen, I'm in an impossible situation in the natural. I can't come up with this money, dude. I need to borrow a bunch. No, I didn't say that. I said, Preacher Arnie, I just want you to be praying with me, because he's a real prayer warrior type of dude, man. I mean, he don't mess around when he prays. He was like, Arnie, I want you to agree with me and pray with me on this. And I said, I'll get back with you later. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, well, God is good, all right. So, you know, anyways, I just given it to the Lord, and he takes me back like later that day, and he's like, what's the exact amount you need, dude? I was like, embarrassing amount, you know, a lot of money. And he's like, truly, like straight up real talk, man. He's like, I'll have that check ready for you Sunday. I'm like, woo-hoo-hoo, woo, he is risen. He is, everybody, he is, well, I'm excited about that, man. Okay, so anyways, that's a little tiny, tiny picture, you know. See, we all owe a debt that we can't pay. There's no way you can do it, okay? But see, God loves you so much. He's like, boom, I'm going to pay for this for you because I love you so much. That's what we're in. So that's where we're at, right? Okay, you can't earn it. You receive it. Okay, so being born of the Spirit is when the Holy Spirit changes you. He comes to dwell inside you. It's like God stamping you. Boom, he is mine. He is mine. Satan, you don't get him. You know what I'm saying? Amen. So we got to be born again. Okay? There's no way around that. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so there's a God in heaven who's perfect. Perfect in every way. Okay, and so for me to spend eternity with him, because heaven's a perfect place, I have to be perfectly obedient. That's a problem. That is a big time problem right there, because, like Romans 3:23 says right there, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We all know that verse. I've said it so much around here. It's probably in the recesses of your mind somewhere. You can probably pull that out at any time. You know, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all blown it. Every single one of us. Okay? Well, see, that's a huge problem, man, because you don't get to spend eternity with the Lord unless you're perfect. So what are we going to do? Well, we accept a perfect gift, and we get washed in the blood of the perfect, spotless Lamb. Amen? And so when God sees us, he sees the blood of his Son covering our sins. And our sins are washed away. Sounds too good to be true. It does sound too good to be true, but it is true. It is true. Amen? Okay, Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's us. Wave to your neighbor and say, hello, little sheep. Hello, little sheepy. Because that's what we are. Sheep wander off, man. And if they don't listen to the shepherd, they go out and they get into trouble. That's you and me, man. Without the good shepherd, without letting the Lord be my shepherd, we are doomed to walk off some sort of cliff. And sheep will do that, man. They'll just, pretty. They will, you know. True statement. Truly. Proverbs 14:12. Sheep have to have a shepherd. They got to. They're like the one animal that has got to have a shepherd, or they ain't going to last long. There's all kind of predators out there. Can't wait to get a hold of them sheep. Okay, so that's us, man. We have to have a shepherd or we are doomed. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? Okay, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. On your own, you doing life on your own, that is going to lead you to eternal death, eternal separation from our Lord and Savior. You have to have a Savior. You cannot do it on your own. You see what I'm saying? I'm a good person. You ever heard that? I'm a good person. Compared to what? Compared to who? Your neighbor, maybe. Anyone, raise your hand if you don't like you. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. We got good neighbors. I got good neighbors. I don't know about your neighbors. My neighbors are all right. We're not talking about neighbors today. We're supposed to love our neighbor. That's another sermon, though. You can't do it on your own. Amen? Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Don't you love that point in the sermon when you've completely lost your train of thought? That's a good place to be. That's not a good place to be. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Oh, and then I said, well, I'm a good person. Y'all remember that? We just talked about that. Yeah. Well, we're not good people. The heart is deceitful above all things. Okay. Compared to Charles Manson, probably. You know what I mean? But see, the standard is perfection. The standard is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Okay? And that ain't you. You ain't perfect. I'm not perfect. All by your lonesome, you ain't going to get there. You can't do it. No matter hip, no matter how cool you are, no matter how much money you have in the bank. Amen? All like sheep have gone astray. I got this dog. His name's Marie. Marie. Everyone say Marie. Beautiful, beautiful doggy. It's under Sam's tutelage. Little Sam is raising the dog. Sam changed the name to Tika. Tika. So anyways, the thing about Marie is she's a super gorgeous dog. And you can forget that she's in the house sometimes, because when you're around, she can be good, and she'll just kind of sit in the corner and look at you and smile. And then you get up to go somewhere, and you forget that Tika or Marie's in the house. But when you get back, you don't forget, because everything's destroyed. Everything is destroyed, right? There's the remote I've been looking for. It's in 14 different pieces. Okay, that's us, man. We've all went astray, man. We've all went astray. We're like, okay, here's the Ten Commandments. Here's God's law, okay? But you know what? I'm not following those. You know what I mean? You can't even do it on your own. That's why we had to have Jesus Christ. The law was set up to show you, hey, you need a Savior. You cannot do this on your own. Amen? So here we are, man. You got to have a Savior. You absolutely as a child, that sin gene, if you want to call it that, okay, scientists have now discovered the sin gene. Okay. You're born with it, man. You got it from your great-great-great-great-grandpapa, Adam and Eve. You know what I mean? You're just born with that. I'll give you an example. I got herds of them, herds of examples. Driving down the road yesterday with little Gracie, I took a break, and we're taking the kids to do some stuff. We're going to this nature trail, and we stopped at the store and got this 6 feet of bubble tape. Y'all ever seen those? It's like, it's 6 foot of bubble gum. That's a horrible ideal. It's way too much bubble gum for a family. Yeah. Anyways, Gracie gets a hold of the bubble tape package, you know, and it's not open. And she's like, can I open this? And they're like, no, you can't. And she's like, can I have a little bite of this? No, you cannot. Don't open that. Do not open that. Me and Rachel are talking. Next thing I know, I look in the back, and Gracie, her jaws are just packed. She looks like a hamster or a gerbil or something. Her mouth is just packed with bubble tape, you know. And see, she asked. We said no. And she said, I'm going to override that. I'm going to go ahead and eat all this bubble gum before I get caught. You know what I mean? Okay, so here we are. That's us, man. We've all fallen short. We've all broken God's law. Amen? Okay, well, so what's the big deal? Okay, he knows we're not perfect. Romans 6:23. Look at that one. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. That's your paycheck. That's what we earn for being the people that we are. Not necessarily, we wouldn't call ourselves bad people. Okay, but we've broken God's law. He's a holy God, a just God. He can have nothing to do with sin. You see what I'm saying? And here we are doing what we want to do. I mean, little Gracie, she's so sweet. You didn't have to teach her to do that. Man, she was born with that. Okay, what do we have there? Just we get a little bit of rebellion, right? She wasn't being truthful. She just like, meow. That's us. We are so quick to do the things we're not supposed to do. Amen. We have to have a Savior because the wages, my paycheck, is death. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You got it? For the wages of sin is death. And that's not that physical death. Okay, that's part of it. That's thrown in the sin package. Yeah, your heart will give way one day. You will pass away. That's talking about that spiritual death for eternity. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, somebody high five your neighbor. But the free gift of God, did y'all do it? Okay. A few people in here didn't feel too cool to do that. Thank you, Jesus. That's the best news you've heard all day. But the free gift of God is eternal life. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, Christ Jesus paid for my sins. Okay. But the free gift of God is eternal life. I can go up to Brother Dwayne and kick him in the kneecap. That's no. No, Brother Dwayne. I just wanted to wake people up. I saw you reaching for that pocket knife. Don't mess with Texas, right, Brother Dwayne? I know that's right. Okay, so anyways, back to talking about Jesus. I can offer Dwayne a gift. Not any gift. Dwayne has a terminal illness. Without a miracle, Dwayne's going to pass away. But I have the cure for whatever this is. I got it. Here you go, Dwayne. Here. It's up to Dwayne whether or not he wants to accept that gift. This is too easy, Paul. Like, no, for real, dude. I've been in the Congo for like 8 years. I discovered a cure for your disease. It's a little bit of mud. Just here, dude, take it, man, and you'll be fine. Dwayne can be like, oh, that's just too easy, man. I can't afford this. They're like, no, dude, you're missing the point. It's already been paid for. Everything's been done. You just have to receive it. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He did all the hard work, man. He did all the hard work. All we have to do is receive it. Now, here's the thing. A lot of humanity is going down that easy road, okay? And they're not accepting that most precious gift. They've bought into a lie. You know what I mean? Are y'all with me so far? Okay, let's go to the next slide. John 3:16. Who in here can quote John 3:16? Okay, if you can quote it right now, you will get $8. But first, we have to take up a love offering. Okay, all right. Got it. Good. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That is a beautiful statement right there. For God so loved the world. But you know, and it's so simple. It's not like it's like going over our heads. You know, we get it. God loved the planet. He's in love with his planet. I'm sure he's thrilled to death about the planet. He made an awesome planet. You think Earth is pretty cool? I like it. I'll stay here for a while. He loved humanity. He loves humanity. Okay, so we can all grab that. We can all grasp it and grab a hold of it. God loves us, man. He really, really, well, how much does he love me, Paul? Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, or his only begotten son. What does that mean, he gave? He gave. Okay. Jesus Christ stepped off heaven's throne, came down, dwelled in human flesh, born of a virgin, died a horrible, humiliating death. At any moment, he could have stopped. You've sat through a couple Easter sermons. You know all this. He could have called down the legion of angels. He could have called down one angel. Yeah, but he stayed. Not only did he go to that cross, but he stayed on that cross. Okay, no, Jesus Christ was not caught in some crazy chain of events to one day he's preaching the gospel, and then this happens, and now he's being nailed to a tree, and he's thinking, well, I shouldn't have said this, or maybe I should have done this better, but here we are. Hey, John, take care of my mama. That's not what happened. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly where this was going to end up. Okay, that's how much God loves you so much. That not only did Jesus Christ die for you, but he died a horrible, humiliating, tormenting, agonizing death for me and for you. Amen? And we get it. We understand it. But we just heard it so much, haven't we? That we rarely let it just resonate on our heart what's truly been done for us. That God, I mean, God didn't have to do that if he didn't want to. He's God. He could have been like, man, you guys are just super messed up. Super, super messed up. Noah's Ark number two, except I said I'm not going to do it with water, so I'm going to do it like this. You know what I mean? But he loves us so much that he went through that for me and for you, man. And I got to admit it, you know, and I've said it before. This is one of the frustrations of doing what I do, one of the many frustrations. It's really, really hard to explain something this important. You know what I mean? That how much we are loved. You know what I mean? I don't have the words for it. I'm not some fancy boy guy. I didn't go to school for this. I'm not some amazing orator. You know what I mean? But only the Holy Spirit can really just impress on us what truly has been done for us. And I don't think we're ever going to quite get it until we get to the other side. But we should be able to rejoice at no matter what we're going through, because God himself laid down his life for me and for you, knowing that we were rotten, rotten folks, man. Now, I know that you're probably not an axe murderer. You know what I mean? Maybe. Raise your hand if you're an axe murderer. Okay, raise your hand if you've been strongly considering, like, are you at that point, anybody, where you're, one more, no. Martha, where's the axe? God is good, right? Okay. All right. So anyways, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Now that believe, that's not like believe, solely just believe that he exists. Okay? And that's not solely believe and have respect for him. Like Nicodemus was at that point where he was like, oh, this, I like you. I like the things you do, the miracles and all that. I know you're from God. Well, you know the Muslims? They have respect for Jesus Christ. They have a lot of respect for Jesus Christ. They see him as a very important prophet. Okay? Well, I'm sorry, but that's not going to save you. You have to believe he is who he says he is, and he did what he said he was going to do. You have to. There's only one way to salvation. Amen? And you can have all the respect in the world for him. That will not save your soul. You know what I mean? And it's not just believing that he exists. The demons believe and tremble. They hate it. They hate it. They don't like for you to talk about Jesus. They can't stand it. Every time you talk about Jesus, they're reminded of how much ground they're losing. They're reminded of their future. They tremble. That whoever believes in him should not perish. Isn't that good news? Mm-hmm. Slap your... No. 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 We should be excited about that. You know what I mean? Like I said, get your eyes off of the messenger and let the word of God sink in. Okay? We were doomed, man. We were doomed. Dead men walking. That's you and me. Whoever believes in him should not perish. That believes is to trust in him. Should not perish but have eternal life. That sounded really good to me right now. As crazy as this world is getting, man, that eternal life part sounded really, really good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not looking to go home early, you know. But to be absent from the body is to be present with my Lord. You know, so as a believer, as a saved person, if you have not made this decision yet, listen, as a saved person, to be absent from the body, man, I'm going to be with the Lord. It's a win-win for me. It's a win-win for us that love Jesus. My life was so hard. Okay, well, you know what? God has been with you the whole time. Life is so unbearable. God is with you, man. God will give you strength. God's got a good plan for you. But you know what, man? There's a lot of people that were martyred. A lot of people are being martyred today because they will not deny Jesus, because they love Jesus. You know, and here in America, we're like, oh my gosh, I need to have what my neighbors have. That boat is so awesome. I need to have that one just like that in my yard and all this and blah, 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 blah. None of that stuff matters. And all God's people, none of that stuff matters, man. We just have this sense of entitlement. Now, we're supposed to be willing to deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow Jesus, wherever that might take you. Yeah, okay, so Christian folks that are, we know I'm saved, are you willing to deny yourself anything? Are you willing to pick up your cross? Well, that's a metaphor. Yeah, it is a metaphor. Are you willing to pick up your cross and lay down your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road, ain't it? Think about that one. Okay. Anyways, God is good. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Okay. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a cute baby right there. One thing this church has got going on is cute babies. I don't know who's in charge of the cute baby committee, but they're doing good. They're doing good. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. Think about that. Jesus said, I am the way. The only way to eternal life is through me. Buddha can't do it. Buddha's dead. Muhammad can't do it. Muhammad's dead. That's dangerous words, but it's the truth. You know what I mean? Okay, no, there's only one way. There's only one way to eternal life, and that's through accepting that gift of Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, so it doesn't matter what grandma said. It doesn't matter what your professor said. It doesn't matter what Aunt Bertha said. Just be sincere in whatever you believe and do it with the... Nope. Nope, nope. Nope, Aunt Bertha was steering you the wrong way. And to pray for Aunt Bertha. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So let's understand that, beloved. You got to go through Jesus Christ. Got to. Okay, real fast. I'm going to read Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. This is what Jesus did for you. You can't go anywhere right now. It's raining anyways. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That crushed is like the sins of all humanity, my sins, your sins, past, present, and future, laid on the back of our Savior. Speaking of the weight of all that, you see what I'm saying? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Give him some praise. You couldn't do it. But God loved you so much, he did it for you. John 19 and verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, this is Jesus on the cross. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. It is finished. That is, in the Greek, that's tetelestai. I probably didn't say that right. But it's an accounting word. They would write it on receipts, financial documents, paid in full. That means paid in full. When Jesus says, it is finished on the cross, said paid in full. Your sins are forgiven. Once you accept Jesus Christ, he did everything he said he was going to do. You see what I'm saying? He did it all. So you don't have to pick up the slack because there ain't no slack. Now, because I accept that precious gift, we all know I need to be thankful. I need to have that reverence and I need to live a godly life. Amen. But the works you do not save your soul. Jesus Christ did that. Amen? Well, I'm just having a hard time believing that Jesus really did all this stuff. Well, let me just share this with you real fast. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. I don't know if that may be on the next slide. I'm not sure. This is for those that might be a little skeptical, the doubting Thomases amongst us. Okay. Which a lot of us are like that. But if you hunger and thirst for the Lord, he will reveal himself to you. The Bible has satisfied the intellects of some of the smartest people that have ever lived. It's not something for the weak. It's not a fairy tale. This is God's manual for our life. And it tells us there's only one way to be saved, and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered to you as of first importance, mui, very important. In other words, there's no more important thing than this right here. Okay? And if you think about it, before we ever talk about tithing or gossiping or turning the other cheek and all that awesome good stuff that's so important, you got to get this first. You got to, if we don't have that, we're just a little self-help group. You know what I mean? We're just a little club, you know? For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. He said he was going to die for my sins, and he died for my sins. Died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. See, that means it's really important. That was to wake you guys up. I know everyone's getting sleepy. I have buttons that do all that. No, I'm playing, but I do want that. Can we make that happen? That would be so much fun. Bullhorn. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, anyways, back to what we're talking about. Jesus. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Listen, the Old Testament pointed to the fact that there was going to be a Messiah. And that Messiah is Jesus Christ. Everything that was spoken about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, before he ever walked on the earth, Jesus Christ fulfilled completely. Right down to where he was born and how he died and everything. I mean, some of that stuff is just so impossible. You know, he was out of Egypt. Well, he was out of Egypt because his mom and daddy went to Egypt. He was born in Bethlehem. You know what I mean? He was be called a Nazarene. He'd be from Nazareth. He did all those things, man. He did everything perfectly. He fulfilled everything that was said about him. You see what I'm saying? For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried. Okay, so yeah, he died, and then he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. Okay, he was raised on the third day. It said he was going to be raised on the third day. He was raised on the third day. No one's really excited about this? Okay. Jesus said this. He said, okay, this is going to happen to me. Okay, I can say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be at Taco Bell. I'm going to eat 3 chalupas and I'm going to have a Diet Pepsi. Okay, that may or may not happen. It doesn't sound like a horrible plan right now. Okay, you know what I mean? But Jesus said, these things are going to happen to me. And it happened exactly how he said it was going to happen. Okay, this is the Son of God.